You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, tensions in the Middle East have flared dangerously, and the global economy is already starting to feel the heat. With the United States launching strikes on Iranian targets, markets have turned jittery, understandably. Oil prices are climbing, and central banks already grappling with sticky inflation and policy uncertainty are being forced into even tighter corners. So what does this mean for global growth, for risk sentiment, and for a country like ours that sits on the receiving end of oil shocks and capital flight? With me now is Professor Adrian Saville, strategist, economist, to unpack, to discuss what the unfolding conflict in Iran could mean for the global economic outlook. Adrian, always good to talk to you, and thank you. We should, I guess, be taking this conflict very seriously. But do you think it's a temporary market wobble right now, or are we starting to see, or could we see, a longer-term economic threat?
Jeremy, great to be with you. Always wish it was under better circumstances. This has all of the makings of something much bigger than a local flare. It's got all of the ingredients. If you look at the two sides of the field and the allegiances to those two sides. So, unfortunately, you know, I would say that unless this is contained quickly, effectively, it is likely to translate into something much bigger.
And part of that much bigger, Adrian, is oil prices. We're already seeing the commodity surging. Is there a breaking point where this actually begins to choke global growth momentum? Already there's talk, for instance, of blockading or cutting the Hormuz Straits.
That would be, you know, sort of all bets off if the Hormuz Straits is blocked or closed. And you're likely to see oil prices go even higher. There's ways that suppliers could work around that. Saudi Arabia has a substantial oil pipeline which would allow them to circumvent that, and that might provide relief. But that doesn't change the fact that what you would be injecting into the environment are chokes in the ability to get to market. You would be injecting a whole fresh dose of instability and uncertainty. We've seen a number of airlines cancel flights over the last couple of days, including to, you know, other neighboring but critical economic and financial centers. See, flights were canceled by two airlines to Dubai yesterday. And all of the markers, if we look at commodity prices, oil and gold, they are both telling us expect worse rather than better from here.
And Adrian, I think we in South Africa need to be very nervous. We import most of our oil, and there is going to be a likely impact on fuel prices, inflation, and that could even spill over into interest rate expectation.
Jeremy, you know, here I think that there is a perhaps a, you know, a small room for relief. There's a tiny bit of silver lining on this in that South African inflation has been extremely well contained, well managed. We're in very low single-digit inflation, and the prospect of seeing this translate into the historical double-digit type scenarios. I'm not saying that that's off the cards, but it's certainly that wouldn't be my reading of the lay of the land as things stand. All of that said, the weaker currency and the combination of higher oil prices put into that weak currency, that's going to add some basis points to inflation. But at this stage, you know, I wouldn't call for alarm around that scenario as things stand.
And Adrian, what about institutional investors and how they are likely to respond? Is this kind of geopolitical instability something that triggers reallocation or even in South Africa's case, capital outflow?
I think that that's a great point. In times of uncertainty, you head to the things that you sort of know and trust most. Historically, that has always been U.S. dollar and U.S. treasuries. That's the place that you scramble for in times of uncertainty. And what's striking about the course of 2025 is that investors have shied away from dollar and dollar assets. They've gone and looked in other places. So I'm not sure that they will change their behavior. They'll still be looking for safe havens. But I do wonder whether they are going to display the historical affinity with the greenback and dollar-based assets. I suspect not. I suspect that they will be looking in other places, euro, Swiss franc, perhaps even Japanese yen.
Is there concern, Adrian, that central banks who would understandably be nervous might overcorrect by starting to tighten policy again just as demand is starting to slow?
They might overreact. If you look at the recent behavior of central banks globally, they've been very cautious. They haven't acted with the same sort of speed and vigor as we saw global financial crisis, COVID being two recent dramatic episodes. In the very recent past, last couple of years, they've been far more sort of cautious, conservative, deliberate. And so I would suspect that they are likely to continue with that habit behavior unless we see, you know, something spectacular erupt, full-scale war. Then I think you can anticipate central banks to go right onto the front foot and be very aggressive in their actions.
And just a final one, and maybe a little bit left field, but South Africa also resumes trade talks with the United States later this week, I think due to begin or rescheduled for Wednesday. Given the rapid change in the geopolitical paradigm, are all bets off the table now as far as Pretoria is concerned and any expectation that we might have had?
Yeah, you know, we've shown our allegiances in our foreign policy or foreign diplomacy, and that card is on the table. So it's quite hard to see, you know, as things lie this morning, that this is going to go well for South Africa. That's hard to see under this scenario.
I'm going to leave it there. Adrian Saville, thank you very much indeed. Always appreciate your time and your insight.